air, cleaning, and recalibration done right. Now that's a genuine, bona fide tune-up. Not everyone will spend $100 on a Bonnie AC tune-up. Just homeowners who know the difference between a tune-up and a scam. Now that you know, well...
Call Bonnie!
License 696-355. B-O-N-N-E-Y, Bonnie.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nita Subaru Sacramento has big savings on every new Subaru in stock during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. See over 300 available new and certified pre-owned Subarus at NataSubaru.com. Nita Subaru Sacramento. Simple, sincere, transparent.
Broadcasting from the Sacramento Republic FC Studios. KHTK AM and HD. KNCI HD3. Sacramento. This is Sports 1140. KHTK. We do sports. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Now, Grant Napier.
Back with you on Sports 1140 KHTK. Just someone on Twitter, so I'll respond. I have no idea what is happening in the Kings front office. Like, I know people find that hard to believe, but Vlade Divac doesn't have an extension. So I think he's going to have an extension, but I can't sit here and put my life on it. And if he does get an extension, then it will be up to him to decide the future of this franchise in all aspects, Doug. So I'm not really sure how to answer that. I got to wait until see he gets a deal.
Well, that's where I think that the equity has been built up, where you got to trust Vlade with whatever direction that he sees fit and chooses to go. Keeping coach, free agency, all the different things. I mean, this has been some time, and I personally think that he's shown that he has the ability to lead this organization. A lot of people didn't think so, and right now they are poised to make a step. How's that next step? What is we don't know that. Nobody does, except probably Vlade, Vivek, and whoever that inner circle is. But whatever that direction is, they built up the cachet to – you listen, Grant, you always don't make the right decisions. There's no organization 100% of the time that makes the right decisions. You go back with Pop, he drafted a kid 6'9 out of Arizona in the first round. Look back about 15 years ago. Kid, his last name was Williams, out of Washington. That's how I know him. Didn't work out. Some of the players that he brings, but for the most part, the direction, the vision, those type of things work out. So now you have a philosophy. A lot of different things have been built up. You start plugging in the pieces. Some will work, some won't.
All right, let's get to some phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All guests and phone calls come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Alex, you're next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi there.
Just want to touch on a couple of things. Just real quick regarding Jaeger. Man, I've been going back and forth with this all year, and I do agree, you know, obviously the team has played a thousand times better, I think, than any of us would have expected. And I do think Dave deserves some credit for that. But, I mean, you have to look at, well, how much would this team have progressed regardless, you know, just based on the progression of the athletes. And, I mean, this team is loaded with talent. So you got to give credit to the training staff. You got to give credit to the players. And I think you can't just say just because the team has been playing well, all credit goes to Jaeger, and he deserves an extension based on that merit. I mean, you kind of have to look at everything as a whole and look at the decisions he's made, the lineups he's made. And it's tough. You know, he's coming into his last year, and I think he probably will be able to play out his last season, and wait, the way the team plays next year, I think will determine if he sticks around or not.
You know, you could do that too. You could do that. You could say, hey, we really like where we're going. We need to figure out what our next step is going to be. And if it's still heading in the right direction, everyone will get a new deal and before the All-Star break. I mean, I don't know. There are all kinds of ways you can go about doing this. Here's the part that I think I'm pretty safe in saying. Vladdy and Dave Yeager have been here pretty much the same amount of time. So Vladdy knows Dave's strengths and weaknesses. Dave knows Vladdy's strengths and weaknesses. They've worked together every day for 3 years. I don't think that there's anything that is still out there that Vladdy doesn't know about Dave or Dave doesn't know about Vladdy. In other words, 3 years is a long enough courtship to determine whether you want to go forward for another 3 or 4 years, correct?
I agree with that, yeah.
And that's where we're at.
And then you have to look at if you're not in love with any of the candidates that are out there this year, whether who knows if Luke Walton will still be on the Lakers staff. Probably not. But, you know, you look at all the other candidates, and if you're not in love with someone, then maybe it would be best to stick with Yeager. But one more thing I want to touch on real quick was I've been seeing a lot of fans of the San Jose Sharks who are really unhappy. And, you know, the team has been on a little rough skid, but they've been without Carlson. They've been, you know, without Pavelski.
Which is huge.
Yep. And then Kane missed some time. So that's three of your best players that have missed some time. So I think, what do you think? Do you think the Sharks are still right there? And do you think they can still contend? Take your comments up there. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much. The one thing I've learned about hockey, and I'm a huge hockey fan, and, you know, you make a good point about the injuries. Last week I watched the game at home against Vegas, and Vegas went in there and manhandled them. And Vegas, though, was healthy, and the Sharks had some key guys out of the lineup. I will say this about the Sharks. They have dominated the regular season in the past, and they have faltered in the postseason. They then have gotten into the playoffs where they have not been expected to do well, and they do well. We know that it's hard for them because they've watched the LA Kings win multiple cups. They've watched Anaheim, you know, raise the flag. And yet here we are in San Jose, and there have been many years where they were better than both those teams, and they have nothing to show for it. And by when I mean nothing to show for it, they don't have a Stanley Cup. What you need in the postseason to go far, first and foremost, you got to have that goalie. We saw it last year with Brandon Holpe, and he didn't even start the postseason for Washington. And two games or three games into the playoffs, Barry Trotz made a decision to change goalies, and it propelled them to a Stanley Cup. You've got to have a goalie that is playing out of his mind if you're going to win. The Sharks have that capability. They have the talent. I'm not a huge believer in momentum going into the playoffs, because if you're able to win the first round, you'll then build up the momentum. All right? There's not a huge difference in the NHL between the top team and the eighth place team. There just isn't. There's a very fine line. You absolutely have to have the goaltending, and you have to be big on special teams. If you can do those two things, you've got as good a chance as anyone. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. You and I both, I think, are on the same page that this team has already passed the test for this year. We said back in October, we were talking about number of wins, and you said, well, I want to see them trending towards 40. Well, they're doing that. They might even have 40. They should have over 40. I have said, well, I'm looking at my eyeball test. I want to look at this team and say that when we get to March and April,
right,
that I know that this team is heading in the right direction. So they passed both of our tests. Now they need to take that next jump. Let's get to Ken. You're on with Grant and Doug.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Bogey. I know he's been struggling, and I think especially since the trade deadline. And I'm wondering whether he came in to the Kings, and after they traded DeMarcus Cousins, was arguably one of the best players, if not the best player on the team. Now with the development of the younger players, and then after the draft they get Harrison Barnes, I'm wondering if you think that's part of the issue, that mentally he's probably now down to the fourth or fifth best player on the team.
You know, I don't think that that's necessarily the issue. I haven't talked to Bogey about this, but sometimes it's just a flow of a season can get off. I thought that he got off to a really tough start coming back from the knee. Then there was a little apprehension, so it slowed him down a little bit. Then trying to find your way. And if the Bogey that you remember, that I remember, that Grant remembers, he plays a really good style of basketball, and I just don't think that he has found his way. Now, to your point, when you add a Marvin, when you add a Harry, when Buddy's playing the way he is and De'Aaron is playing a high level of basketball, where does that put him at? The key is, with his skill set, he doesn't need to be the best player on the team. All he needs to do is play the style of basketball and the type of basketball that we know that he can play.
I personally also feel the coach had him playing out of position for quite a while as a starter with the small forward, and I think that that's not the best fit for him. And I think on this roster, I think the coach made a mistake, and I have no problem saying that because I would say it to him if he were in the room with me. I think that Bogey should have been coming off the bench as the first guard off the bench, and I think Harrison Barnes should have been playing at the three. I think Bielitsa should have been playing at the four. That experiment, to me, did not go very well, and I think it coincided also with Bogey's play going downhill. So, again, you know, Bogey needs to figure out how to not let that happen over a prolonged period of time, because I'm kind of mystified, as you are, with his play. And Doug and I talk about it both on the air and off the air. I think it's a very valid point. But personally, I don't like the way he was used for a period of time. I just didn't think that benefited him.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I'm not the coach, and I don't watch these guys practice, and I'm not sitting here saying I know more than Dave Yeager, because I don't. It's not even close. I mean, that's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm just looking at fit.
Yeah, and you know what, Coach Yeager, this, when you're in it the way that coach and coaches and players are, you don't get a chance really to step away and look at it in a totality. That's what you do at the end of the season. So the exit meetings and all that, I bet your coach would say, yeah, you know what, you're probably right. But when you're in the moment, I want one of my best players on the floor, and Bogey is that.
Yeah.
Even if he's out of position right now, which is kind of making him suffer a little bit.
All right, we will continue with your phone calls. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie coming to you from Dallas. Kings and Mavs tomorrow. Stop two of a five-game trip. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We get to Larry. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good evening, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank
question.
You.
When Buddy broke the Kings record for most three-point shots in the season, does he get to keep the game ball at the end of the game?
He doesn't, but he did. Which, in other words, that's his, and no one cares. I mean, he did. He did keep the game ball. They don't give him the game ball, but he grabbed it and took it. And so he talked about it on the post-game show, the post-game interview with Katie.
Good, yeah, because I know in football they give those away, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, you can take a ball anytime you want. Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you much.
All right, thank you. How many three-pointers do you think Pazier would have if he played in this era? Right.
You know, whatever that number is, I'm not.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I forgot to turn your mic on.
That's okay. He'd be Steph-ish is what I said. Can you imagine Pazier trying 15 three-pointers in a game?
No. I mean, his percentage would be ridiculous.
Yeah, and on top of that, on a night where he's not hitting, that means he's going to get multiple looks to try to find his rhythm, and he's going to probably shoot more threes than he is twos. He's a smart player, so he'd get to the free throw line. I have no idea.
Okay.
That number might be double of what we see the record is now, is my point.
All right. Something I wanted to ask you, because I'm ready for it. You've been ready for a month, but now I'm really ready. The Kings aren't going to the playoffs. We know that. Okay. Doesn't mean the season's a failure. It's just that's one step that they're not going to make.
Right.
Marvin Bagley, to me, is emerging as maybe the best player on the Kings.
Goodness.
Okay. And it's time for him to start. Okay. I want to see him start the rest of the season. With nine games left, I want to see him play alongside Harrison Barnes. I want to see him start with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein. All right, I'm ready for it. I want to see it. It's time.
So I'm going to give you a behind the scenes here. So you know I do the road trip and podcast for Uninterrupted NBC. So today we had Marvin on. So everyone, you can go
and
see
you do
it.
That with De'Aaron Fox.
With De'Aaron Fox, he's a co-host, but we had Marvin.
And
on
how
today.
Do people go about seeing that?
It's the, you know, where podcasts
okay,
you
gotcha.
Can download
all right.
it.
Okay, all
Uninterrupted.
Right. Okay.
So I asked him. I said, "Who's the toughest player that you've ever had to guard?" And his response was Giannis. And you and I had talked about the fact that I thought that there's a lot of Giannis in him, and he kind of goes into that. And it's going to, when you hear it, it's going to be interesting because he talks about Giannis grabbing the ball off the board, bringing it up full court, passing the ball, cutting, all the different things that he can do and how dominant he is. I so agree with you, Grant. I just said that because it came into my mind. But the point is,
it's time.
It was showing time weeks ago.
It was.
You know what? It was time when you and I first said it. Before we even got on air, we were just talking off air as we do sometimes, and we didn't bring it up because it was so early. We were like, okay, you know, you could see it. But now, most definitely.
All right, you're around them more than I am. Do you get a sense when you're with De'Aaron and Marvin, like you were today, do you get a sense that they grasp how special they can be? And do you get a sense that they grasp what they have in front of them in the market of Sacramento?
Yeah, all of that. I do, Grant. Even today, just sitting and watching and talking and allowing them to tell stories and go through. Yes, I really do. I think that they're not only do they understand it, I think they appreciate it, which to me even speaks volumes even more. I think both of them know who they are and who they can be. I'm not even talking off the floor as people. I'm talking about on the floor as players, the dominance, the ability to dominate a game, the chippiness that both of them have that in them. They're not backing down from anybody. So I'm just sitting there watching them, and I'm smiling inside going, oh, boy, here we go.
You and I talked about this on TV last night. A kid that just turned 20 years old, not backing down one iota from the greatest player on the planet, LeBron James.
Yeah, and I told him that today. I was like, man, I told both of them because De'Aaron did it with Russell Westbrook. And I said, I'm proud of and for both of you guys that's the mindset, because a lot of times you're being tested. And in my opinion, you passed that test. You got the skills. That's not the question. The question is going to be, how do you go about your business? How high do you want to ascend? Do you take your players with them? Are you able to lead? And a lot of being able to lead is being able to stand your ground and show your guys that we ain't going nowhere. I got this. And they both did that.
All right, let's get to Howard on Sports 1140. Hi, Howard.
Hey, Grant, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Hey, I have a question for you. Now the Kings look like they really had a good season. My question is for next year, don't you think now is time to go out and get a couple really good players to work around them? Are they planning to do that, or are they just going to live where they are now with this young player?
Oh, no, they're going to add to the roster this summer. I think, you know, once July 1st hits, the free agent market is attractive. The Kings are they're in position to really help their team. So, no, they're definitely 100% going to add to this roster and make it better than it currently is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Do you think that we need to go after a little bit more quality, a little bit more like more of a star?
No, I think you already have the stars on the team. I think you need a legitimate backup point guard, and by that I mean somebody that really runs the offense, that's a veteran, that's done it before, and I think you need a five that is more effective against the fives in the Western Conference on a night-to-night basis than Willie is. Those are the two needs, in my opinion.
I mean, we have the money, right, for next year, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So if we go out and get, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, it's hard to be a star in the league or a superstar. I mean, I don't think we have quite a star yet, because it takes a while to build that.
Yeah, it does. But also, Grant and I have talked about this many times, and it's more me than Grant. I think the ability to compete against some of these super teams and conglomerates is the ability to put together a team. And when you look at the Kings right now, they have a team. The team is put together. You can add some pieces to it. And you pair that with the fact that a couple of your young players are budding stars in and of themselves. That's a really good mix.
Yeah, I just hope we do. I notice every year we build that we're building good right now, and what D-Box has done did very well. Just now I think it's time to go out and spend that extra bucks to get that one good star that we really need.
Now, you see, you already have that one good star already on your roster. You just watch. I appreciate your phone call, Howard. You have a great rest of the day. Let's get to Bork, Sports 1140. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Grant and Doug?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I'm 45 years old, and I've been a diehard fan back in the day for Supersonics, you know?
Yeah.
And there's one guy in Sacramento Kings that kind of remind me of Rashad Lewis. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Yeah. Rashad Lewis, sure. He was a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of remind me of Harrison Barnes, the way he played the game. What do you guys think about that, especially the height, the guy who can shoot threes, who can defend, and he can rebound? That kind of reminds me of him.
That's an interesting one. Rashard also kind of posts up the way that Harrison Barnes. You could put him in the post down there. Rashard was a little bigger than Harrison is. I'm talking size-wise. Like, he was about 6'9", so he had about an inch or two. But the ability to shoot the corner three, the wing three, I would agree. That's a good comparison. Harrison may be a little more fluid than Rashard was with the dribble, with the ability to put it on the floor. But good comparison, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's about it, guys. Thank you.
Good All night. Right, have a good one. Thank you for the call. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The one thing that I think is lacking on the team right now is a prototypical backup point guard. And by that I mean a guy that when De'Aaron is not on the floor can run the team. Yogi is more of a combo guard. He's not really a real point. He's a combo guard. I think, Doug, that that's a priority in this offseason. I think they need to go out and get that type of a player.
Yeah, because when De'Aaron goes out, most of the time, what are you going to do? And what I mean by this, Grant, is where's the ball going to go? Who's going to be the focus of the offense? And that's going to probably be Marvin. It might even go through Harry.
Yeah.
So you need someone that sets that table up.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Grant Napier and Doug Christie on Sports 1140. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to some phone calls. Don't forget Ian Eagle, who is right in the thick of the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll talk to him about what he witnessed over the weekend. Let's get to Robert. Hello, Robert.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
I just had a quick question. I did want to call in before, 5-10 games left in the season. I know Willie's a free agent. I've always liked him, so by no means do I want to sound like I'm getting negative. I guess I'm just kind of worried about his output and his performance, not the other last game, but in Phoenix. I think even, Grant, you and Jerry made a couple comments, how does a guy like Willie play 18 minutes and not get any rebounds? I'm not trying to talk bad about him because I know he's a hard worker. I just, with him being a free agent, I kind of am curious what you guys think. Are we going to go after him strongly, or maybe is it time to look at someone like Nikola Vucevic? I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Nikola Vucevic. I don't know what Nikola's plans are as far as Orlando and whether he wants to stay there or not, whether he likes to coach, whether he likes there. He's a candidate. I think DeAndre Jordan is a guy that's going to be available that would be a good fit on the Kings. I think it's less likely that Willie will be given a new deal, although I'm not Vlade Divac. I would also say that I think Willie is in for, I don't want to say a rude awakening, but I think Willie, and thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go because of the background noise. I think Willie thinks his value is higher than what it's going to be. Let me put it to you that way. I think Willie, in his own mind, thinks he's a $20 million a year player. He's not a $20 million a year player. To me, he's a $12 or $13 million a year player. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, how many of us listening wish we were $12 million a year or something? I think Willie's best role would be to be the first big off the bench on a really good team. I think he could really blossom in that situation.
You know, part of that, Grant, is Willie, but part of it is his agent and them having realistic understandings of exactly, you know, where he's at and what he needs to do and all those different things. It could come down to also allowing other teams to give an offer, and will the Kings match that offer?
Let's get to James. Hello, James.
Hey, Grant, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, so, you know what? It's kind of funny. I was going to talk about stuff pretty similar to the last caller, but is Vucevic a reasonable thought process for a Kings fan of possibly coming here? I mean, financially, would he work out for us?
Well, he was an all-star last year, so I don't think he's going to sign anywhere for less than $20 million a year. Do I think he's a $20 million a year player? Yes, I do. Do I think he's a $25 million a year player? No, I don't. I think he's probably $21, $22 million a year based on market value. I don't know what his wishes are. I don't know if he wants to leave Orlando. I mean, or if he's just going to take the highest offer out there. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, Doug knows this, and he can speak to it better than I can. Sometimes a player will be – the money's important. I'm not saying it's not. But if it's a little bit less, they might go a little less to be on the right fit.
That would be a big steal, in my opinion. I don't know Nikola Vucevic, but I'm saying that type of player, that caliber of player, to sign them, bring them to Sacramento, I think would be a huge deal for the Kings. Is it possible? I'm not really sure. This is, we're hearing his name a little bit more because callers are asking about it, but that would be a huge coup for the Kings.
Well, and let me ask you this, Doug. So on the Willie front, here's what kind of upsets me about Willie. I love Willie. And at the beginning of the year, in a contract year, you could see that fire out of Willie. But what I've seen in the second half of the season is the same old Willie, the inconsistencies, the good game here, bad game there. So I don't know if necessarily, I feel like he's a part of our future. But if we're going to be running the way we're running – Willie fits that style. Is there another player in the league that would fit that style that would behoove the Kings to maybe look at in the offseason that might be a reasonable pickup for us?
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan would be.
That's what I was going
to
say.
DeAndre Jordan would be perfect for that style. He played with Chris Paul. How many dunks did he have thanks to Chris Paul? Can you imagine De'Aaron Fox throwing a ball to DeAndre Jordan on the break?
Yeah, and I will pair it with this. I think that the Kings' evolution is going to be this style with the ability to, I don't want to say slow down because that's not what I mean, but you don't need to run to play with pace. The ability to pass the ball, cut, screen, move, all the playing more with your brain than just the physical attributes that you're given.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We need to get to some more phone calls, and we go to Robert. Robert, you're on with Grant and Doug. All right, Robert is no longer there. We get to Rick. Hey, Rick.
Grant, how you doing today?
I'm fine, Rick.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I want to talk about the tournament a little bit. Besides Duke, who do you think has a chance to get to the Final Four?
I think there are probably 8 or 9 teams in the Sweet 16 that legitimately have a chance. I don't think Duke's the best team in the tournament anymore after watching them play in the first 2 games. That's just my opinion. I don't think there is a best team in the tournament, though. I don't think there's any difference between Duke and North Carolina and Virginia and maybe Michigan or Michigan State. I don't think there's really a difference there. I think they're all within a basket or two of one another, and it's very difficult to predict how 18 and 19-year-old kids are going to handle the situation. But this thing is completely up for grabs.
Do you think Oregon has a chance to get by Virginia?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Any team that's playing this weekend has a chance to win.
Well, you know why? Because Virginia has the ghost of the past. I know that a lot of people said, oh, they've overcome it. They got past the first weekend. Yeah, that's true. But when you face an Oregon team that doesn't have anything to lose, their best player, Bowl, isn't even playing.
Right.
And they're playing like this, and they've made it to the second weekend. Listen, allow Oregon to get a 10-point lead on Virginia and see what happens.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, how cool would it be to have that Kenny Wooten kid in Sacramento? That dude can jump out of the freaking gym, man.
Yeah, the Kings have second round picks, so when you're looking a lot of the players that you see, you got to think, see the talent. Will they be maybe around in the second round, or maybe the Kings parlay both of those picks and get something at the end of the first round? That's kind of how you got to take it in my estimation.
Thanks for the call. We'll get to Gerald. Hello, Gerald. Welcome to the program.
Hey, it's Gerald. Thanks for taking the call, guys. I wanted to weigh in a little bit on when you were talking about Yogi being a multi-guard instead of a true point guard. I've seen times where he's absolutely brilliant, like when he was playing against the Spurs and had that basically perfect game as a backup point. Don't you think that he could do something like having Bobby maybe take him on as a mentor in the out of season and take him under his wing and teach him truly how to watch the entire floor to turn him into a full-on point guard and teach him how to be a full six man?
Well, do you mean from just Bobby's knowledge, or do you mean similar playing styles? Because oddly enough, Bobby wasn't a point guard. Bobby was a combo guard, similar to Yogi.
I'm talking about the fact that he plays so much like Bobby. Yeah.
You mean like how can you mesh that skill? I to be honest with you, I think that the brilliance of Bobby was the fact that he could have started probably on a lot of other teams in the NBA, and he chose to take a back seat here at the Kings to allow us to become a better team. But to your point, his tutelage, I think, is unquantifiable. It's fantastic to have him on the bench to talk to the guys and speak to them. And a guy like Yogi, you are correct. How can you use your skill to help this team? Is it tonight? Is it scoring? Is it running the team? How can you do it?
Yeah, because I see that the only thing that I see that Yogi has a problem with is not watching the left side of his feet, left side of his court. His right side he runs perfectly. He just doesn't seem to see the left side as much as he actually should. The only downfall I see that he has.
We'll give him a rearview mirror and two side mirrors for Christmas.
There you go.
That's beautiful. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right. Again, if you want to call the program, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Don't forget the A's are coming up tonight. We'll get you there at 6:30 as the baseball season is upon us. And I was just talking with a gentleman that takes care of us here in Dallas, Tim Collins. This is the last year of the ballpark in Arlington. They're moving into their brand-new ballpark next year, which will have a retractable roof, which you absolutely have to have in the Texas summers to play baseball. So that's going to be a welcome addition down here in the Metroplex. And baseball is coming up. It's that week. Yes, indeed. And then you've got the Masters, which starts in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Final Four this weekend. And then the following Monday is Championship Monday. So crazy, huh?
Yeah, it is. How long was the ballpark in Arlington? How old
is
that?
Gosh,
it's not that old, is it?
Yeah. Not terribly old.
Yeah, it's not crazy old.
I want to say it was built, and again, don't hold me to this.
Right.
Early 90s, mid-90s.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little surprising, or is that just kind of how they roll down here in Texas?
I think that with Jerry's World, everyone looks at that venue and say, wow, you know.
You seen it? Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
You have? I haven't seen it.
It's beyond spectacular.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you pull up to it and just,
it's incredible. It really is.
Yeah.
But the... I think the biggest need with the baseball here, you had to have a venue where you could put the roof over it.
The heat is just too much. I would agree with you. I mean, can you imagine being out there? I mean, just anywhere, center field, midfield, pitcher.
94 is when the ballpark 94? In Arlington was built, so I was up by 2 years.
You're usually spot on.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a beautiful ballpark. But again, for the where we're at now, with the climate down here, you've got to have the ability when it's 105 degrees out and sweltering to close the roof.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. Now they take that into consideration. How close is it to Arlington today?
It is in Arlington.
So it's right close?
It's right next to it. Literally there. They're building it right next door to where the existing ballpark is and right next to Cowboy Stadium.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense from the infrastructure standpoint that was surrounding it to keep that all that.
I believe the area out there is called Texas Live, very similar to LA Live. There are very nice hotels, restaurants. They built up that area that is all new, by the way, to kind of have what DoCo is, where our arena and LA.
You can't call your thing live like LA.
You got to
do like us. We went with DoCo.
We're
not Sacramento Live. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I'm just telling you what they call it, man.
All right.
You know? But it's I'm trying to paint the picture for you that it's all retail, restaurants, beautiful hotels. You know, that's
which it makes a lot of sense because similar to Golden 1 Center, now you got restaurants, you got hotel, you got shopping, you got different things. So when you are there, it's something else to do. Now, we take that to what we talk about at the beginning of the games, the beginning of the third quarter. Does the product on the court from time to time suffer a little bit? Yeah, because the fans are enjoying all the beauty that is around it. But on nights when there isn't anything, all that stuff is still open and happening.
And that's great to see. And I would also say that I don't believe, you know, we always talk about the past. And I'm trying to say this so it doesn't offend anyone. We're never going to have what we had at Arco Arena. That's gone forever. Okay,
which is what made it so special,
yes.
Grant.
Yes, and I'm okay with that because we're not in Arco Arena. We're at the Golden One Center, and I'm okay with where we're at, in that we have a state-of-the-art, incredible building where there are other things to do than just sit in your seat and watch the game. Now, personally, for me, that's foreign to me.
Right.
Okay, because I've never gone to a game, and I really mean this, as a fan watching my team to go not be at the game.
Right.
That's foreign to me.
Right.
But I also understand that the millennials and the younger generations, well, that is now part of going to the game. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the way do you think when the Golden State Warriors take the court next year and they start of the second half at their new building in downtown San Francisco, that there are going to be people watching the start of the second half? Yeah. Heck no. It's going to be the same thing as in Sacramento.
Yes. And that is the DNA, the new DNA of Golden One Center, because I think that we've watched it mature over since it's been built.
I agree.
And, you can feel it. It's starting to get its own little vibe and thing, and it's really fun to watch.
It is. Let's get to Glenn. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Doug. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I have a question here. It's never really talked about, but I feel like we've given up on Frank Mason, and I don't understand why. We haven't sent him down to Stockton to polish his game, work on his game. When he had the chance last year, shined a bit. So.
Well, first of all, I don't think they've given up on Frank. It's you can't play all 13 guys, and they gave Frank a really good run at the beginning of the year, and then they decided to give Yogi Ferrell a good run, and they ended up staying with Yogi. So, and you can't just send any player you want down to the G League. They have to accept to go down there, and you know that's part of it. I don't know what Frank's situation is, but I think Frank can play in this league, but I don't think it's going to be here in Sacramento, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree with Grant. I think that Frank is – I've been a fan of his since I watched his workout in Sacramento. I was blown away. Has he maybe lost some confidence, or should I say maybe has coach lost some confidence in him? Yeah, that happens. But Frank's got game, and he is going to be a player in this league. I would be happy to see it in Sacramento. I don't know that will be the case, though.
Is he on like a 2-year, 3-year contract though? Do we have him for another year or two? Or
I believe his contract is up at the end of this year because he was on a rookie.
He was a second round pick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's just a 2-year deal, huh?
Appreciate the call. Let's get to Will on Sports 1140. Hi, Will.
Grant, Doug, what's up, guys?
Hello there.
Hey, I want to talk about all this outrage coming out of the Duke UCF game yesterday. And I'll admit I'm a Duke fan. I'm biased. I'll put that out there right off the top, okay? But if you're going to talk about all the poor officiating, you got to talk about all of it. You can't just talk about the last two calls or non-calls on that free throw. Namely, Taco Fall should have had picked up his fourth foul with 12 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Completely missed, right in front of the ref. He mauled Zion Williamson on his way to the hoop.
Agreed.
Brought his hands down, moved his feet, the whole bit. Should have been a foul. He should have had his fourth right then and there. Which leads me to the next play, which he maybe shouldn't have even been in on, which the shot clock violation that wasn't called.
I disagree with you. I don't think that if you look at 25 different replays and you still can't tell, you have to go with the call on the floor.
You talking about the one that hit the rim or not hit the rim?
Right.
I personally think that didn't
change.
I would agree with the caller. I didn't think that it hit the rim.
See, I disagree. I think it did hit the rim, and I watched the same replays you did.
We were in the same room.
Right.
It hit the backboard and changed direction. That's my take.
Are you 100% certain?
That's your point, and you're correct about that, Napes.
100% certain either. Why can't it just be there's kind of more?
Well, because that's how you change the call.
You have to be 100% certain before you change the call.
Moving on to the two so-called non-calls at the end. I'll give you the hook and hold. I'll give you that. It was okay. I even watched it again before I called.
Sure,
it was a hook and hold. I'll give you that. But the guy on the left side of the lane, I think it was Dawkins' kid.
Yes.
He wasn't even boxing out. Not really. He kind of started to, but then he just gave up position. Now, when you look at it from the top angle, Barrett's got his hands on his back, but he never extends them. I mean, to me, at the end of a game, that you wouldn't make that call.
All right, and Doug agrees with you on that. Now, let me ask you this question, since you're a Duke fan. Duke is everyone's pick. When I mean everyone, I'm generalizing because they have the best player in college basketball in Zion Williamson. And yet their lack of three-point shooting is a factor. And I'm asking, after you've watched Duke play these two games, are you less confident of them winning at all?
I was worried before the tournament, to be perfectly honest. Their three-point percentage in today's game, yeah, you got to hit threes. If they're going to win it, they're going to have to get hot, mainly Trey Jones. He's got to knock down some shots. They're not even guarding him anymore. And that also, they don't really run any offensive sets. It's kind of just give the ball to Zion and RJ and set them a couple screens and try to get them to the hoop. So, yeah, I'm worried about it. They're going to have to knock down shots. They're not the prohibitive favorite that they were crowned to be coming into the tournament, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a real deficiency in the way the game's played now. And you make a great point. They're more of a freelance type of a team. That's a great point you just made.
Yeah, also you pair it with the fact, Grant, that they only played seven players, and two of those players, Jordan Goldwire, 15 minutes, and Marquise Bolden, 9 minutes. That is as top-heavy as you are going to get. Someone gets in foul trouble, something like that they're going to have to be careful.
Hey, it's a good call. Really appreciate
Thanks, you guys, taking
the time to call the show. Thank you. We'll have more on the NCAA tournament with Ian Eagle coming up at 5:30. We got A's baseball tonight as well. Doug and I tomorrow will be coming to you with a quick show from Dallas, getting ready for the Kings and the Mavs. The Mavs in their last game, boy, did they steamroll the Golden State Warriors. Now, ooh, Curry did not play, but that shouldn't make that big of a difference. In other words, it shouldn't make a blowout is what I mean.
Well, you've said many times, Grant, who is the one player that the Golden State Warriors cannot lose?
Yeah, that's Steph Curry.
Well, you said it, and this shows again to be correct, because that was a beatdown of ginormous proportions when you talk about what they went in. And they also went into Golden State and did that. So, this is a Maverick team. The Kings are going to have to be ready. I thought that we saw that when they played in Sacramento. Kings end up winning the game, but you can't look past this team.
I'm concerned about the body clock tomorrow, and I really mean that. I want to see if the Kings are still kind of on a cloud tomorrow, whether they can get ready and get going for the game. Get a good sweat early, man. That's what I would say. You got to get a good work in it, get a good workout at shoot around, get your body right, do what you have to do during the day, and be ready to go at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, if you don't, you're right. These are the type of games that can nip you because, listen, no one's going to care that you got in at 4 o'clock in the morning and didn't get to sleep till 5:30 and you didn't practice today, and you can go on and on. Tomorrow, shoot around, try to get you something in and get you some rest. Hydrate, good meal. Come ready to go at tip-off. You can't ease your way into this game. This is a team that will be playing at home. They're going to be looking to beat you, first of all. Crowd behind you. You know there's always history between Kings and Dallas Mavericks anyway from the years past. They'll be looking to smack you.
And I don't think they were going to practice today anyway, even if they had traveled today instead of last night on a back-to-back. Six games and nine nights in six different cities. It's the end of the season. Maybe an optional practice would have been the deal today, and the first guy there would have been Buddy Hield. And I think Buddy just needs to stay away from the gym for a day. No, really.
No, I'm laughing because you're right. Buddy just – and I like that about him because whatever you want to say, are we complaining about him being in the gym too much?
Unbelievable, isn't
right?
it?
Right, okay. I'll take too much anytime, then not enough. Well, yeah.
All right, again. Ian Eagle coming up in about 35 minutes. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. And we talk about so many things going on with the NCAA tournament, with the Kings winding down the season with nine games remaining, the start of baseball season. Absolutely crazy. And Rob Gronkowski announcing yesterday that he's done. Most thought that he would play as long as Tom Brady played, but at age 29, he said, I've had enough.
Understandable, Grant. You start talking about multiple knee injuries.
Concussions.
Concussions. Now you start talking back surgeries, elbow. I mean, when you see him, he looks like a football player. Yep. I mean, he has stuff on that doesn't let his joints bend to a certain level.
Yep.
And how about that catch in the Super Bowl? That's the way that you go out.
That's pretty big time.
You know, we call on you. That had been guarded earlier in the game, and they weren't able to make it happen. And he comes through in the biggest, largest moment. One heck of a player. It would be debatable, I guess, all-time best tight end ever, Hall of Famer.
Well, he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
I don't know if I would put him as the best of all time.
Yeah.
And I would say also the game is so different now than the tight ends that played, you know, even 20 years ago.
Yeah, blocking as opposed to now being a real part of the offense.
It was so different. I mean, you go back to the Kellen Winslows.
Yes.
I mean, he was a phenomenal
Chargers,
tight end.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Bavaro, I remember as the Giants, was a phenomenal tight end. I mean, you can go back and, you know, look at some other tremendous.
When you say phenomenal, if they played today, their numbers would have even been better because they were that talented. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, and the Raiders had some phenomenal tight ends, you know, the Todd Christensens of the world. And, I mean, you can go on and on. I mean, there have been the Dave Caspers, and, you know, there have been some phenomenal tight ends back in that era where it was a blocking was such a huge part of being a very productive tight end.
Yeah, it's not the last we're going to see of Gronk. The last we'll see of him, I'm sure he's going to get into movies and TV and a lot of different things because personality, he has that in spades. Yeah.
Again, he doesn't have the playoffs to show for it, and I don't think it's his fault, but I've always felt Jason Witten is one of the best tight ends to ever play the game.
Well, he's back, by the way.
Yeah, which I think is a mistake, but that's up to him. No, I do. I think he's making a mistake.
He could have done better in the booth.
No, I'm with you. I think when you get to a certain age and you've accomplished everything that he's accomplished, and now you're 36 and you're coming back after taking a year off in this violent game, and his productivity had really gone down towards the end of his career. I wish he'd stayed away.
Yeah, I think you may be right. I think Cowboys Nation, oddly enough, we're in Dallas, probably is excited and happy to see him there.
All right. We'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.